Yes.
Dream with me for just a moment. Just a moment. You know, we sing these choruses and we hear those words and we get kind of lyrics stuck in our heads. Dream for just a moment. What does the body of Christ really look like, totally abandoned unto God? That you would just do what God has created you to be. Abandoned, worshiping, telling, loving, living life to its fullest every moment. That's what it means to really have an abandoned heart unto God. That God gets to it before I arrive there. How many of y'all glad to know that? Now, see, there's a lot of hope in that. God is before me and gets to it before I arrive there. Number two, the message is Jesus. That's the message. The message is not your favorite church. It's not your favorite song. It's not your personal preference. And this is going to really mess with you right here. The message is not you. Because most of us, man, we think it's about what? Come on, be honest with me now. Be really honest with me. Trish, you don't have to ask this out loud, but I'm talking honest. When you wake up in the morning, honest, who's the first person you think about? Come on, you roll out of bed. Who are you thinking about? Y'all think about you? Because guess who I think about? Me. I say, man, I don't feel good. Why does my shoulder hurt? Why does my hair have white speckles in it? Why? I have some why questions early in the morning. Anybody? You know what I should be saying early in the morning? Thank God I'm still here. Wait a minute, I've taken a breath, and now I'm involved in another day with the motion of God. Come on, somebody hear what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we look away. God is a God of motion. The message is Jesus. Now listen, I want to warn some of you, man. This is, you cannot codify Jesus. You cannot codify Jesus. The message of Jesus comes how? You remember this? In person. The message is in person. I think it's pretty cool, isn't it? How did God come to us? In person. If I really want to get to know you, how you live, what you about, I got to live with you and I got to come what, Steve? In person. Steve's one of our fine firefighters. I remember the last decade, we had a lot of firefighters in the church, and we still got some. But I used to mess with them all the time. Steve, we used to mess with them all the time. Bert over there before he retired, became a grandfather. Bert, you remember when I used to mess with you all the time? And I'd tell myself, I'm going to tell you what, if the Lord lets us come back and live again, I want to be a firefighter. I want to be able to lift weights and play cards, and that be so difficult that I get the next 48 hours off after that experience. Now, why? Because I just mess with them. That's not what they do. Well, when First Baptist Church caught on fire, see, I'm telling you about being in person. Well, I pull in at that time, First Baptist, I mean, it's burning, it's on fire, it's coming down. And since I knew all the firefighters, they were out of help. And so they said, Ayers, you got a big mouth. This is true. They said, run down to the corner of that block, get you some guys to help you, and run that fire hose up here. We need that hose up here. And I thought, well, I'm going to see how hard this is. Well, I strapped some other straps behind me, and Gene, we're running up the block there, up Chestnut, about halfway up the block. I'm saying, my God, this is why these boys need to lift weights. That ain't a garden hose. And then they hook it to the truck and they said, charge the line. And the hose blew up real. Them things are heavy when they fill up with water. What is this? It was different in observation and in person. You know, fire hose is a lot heavier when I'm watching, a lot lighter when I watch Bert carry it than when I have to, in person, have that what? Experience. See, Burke, I bet everybody thinks they can do the sports section like you used to. You know what I mean? Remember? I mean, how hard is it to do the news? Where's Chris Allen? Look at Chris. How hard is it to do the weather? You know, how would y'all like to wake up this to me at 8 a.m.? I'm glad you get Chris. Because, Chris, I'd be grumpy. If I woke everybody up in Bowling Green, I'd say, listen, it's either going to rain or we're going to have a warm day. What you going to do about it either way? Get up and go to work. And if you ain't at work today, I hope it rains on you all day. See, I'd be awful doing the weather, Chris. I'm glad God called you to do that what? In person. Now, Jesus comes to us what? In person. And you know what? And more than often, check this out, more than often, did y'all get that? It's kind of an awkward phrase, so you might remember. More than often, he requires you to be the messenger. Now, I just want to warn some of you. You got some of y'all getting into some crazy theology, and you think God's spirit, I believe God to be supernatural. How many of y'all believe God to be supernatural? Okay, five of you. That's good. Any more? Believe? I mean, God's supernatural. I'm natural. You're what? Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm natural. Come on, I'm natural. Y'all so scared talking church. You so scared God's going to get a hold of us. We're going to speak in tongues. Preferably English. All right? Just, I'm natural. But now I tell your neighbor this. But my Jesus is supernatural. There you go. Good. He is supernatural. He is spirit. We are what? Flesh. So then what does Jesus become? He becomes Spirit of God in flesh. 100% God, 100% man. 100% human, 100% God. You and I are 100% human and without God until we receive Jesus. Now, when we receive Jesus, guess what happens? We get in God's motion. We understand God in person, Jesus. And we can tell the message. Now go with me to Acts. There was this guy in a chariot, a eunuch. He was a guy that had a lot of money. He was in charge of a lot of money. He had position and power. And he was searching for who Jesus is. Now here's what I want you to know today. I want to erase some lies in our culture. People would like to know who Jesus is. What do you think? True or false? Here, talk back to me today. But guess what they don't want to know about? They don't want to know about our church. They don't want to know about our denomination. They don't want to know about if we have potlucks or not. They could care less if we have contemporary music, traditional music, non-traditional music. They could care less if we was high church, low church, in between church. You know why? They want to hear about who? Jesus. In fact, I get church signs crack me up. When I travel, I have to have things that entertain me. So I look at church signs, you know, and Rock, I see these churches, I drive by and it says contemporary worship at 8 o'clock. I'm going, nobody understands that, but church people, contemporary worship. All worship is contemporary. That's not the point of worship. Is it connective? That's the point of worship. Does it testify to a God in motion, and does it bring in the message of Jesus? What most churches are saying is, we play drums and guitars. You know what I say? Big deal. Elvis had drums and guitars. That's in the 50s. Elvis shook long before the church shook. It's not about those things. It's about who? It's about Jesus. But I do want to blow you away. People want to know who Jesus is. You know why? Because he happens to be God in person. Best way for you to get to know something's what? In person. I know you can go to Facebook and you can Skype yourself across the universe. But even Skype is not what? In person. I talked to my sister. She was in England for a year, and I talked to her on Skype, and I got to see my nephew and my nieces, and we were on Skype, and I could see them, and I could hear them, but it wasn't in person. How many of y'all got a Skype Jesus? Well, that got it quiet, didn't it?
Skype Jesus. You turn Jesus on Skype and you keep him at a distance so you can control him. So you think. You want to hear what he's got to say. You want to see him, but you really don't want to get what? Let me see if I can make you feel this. How many of you all would be willing to be married and the only way you could relate to each other is by Skype? Would you be missing anything in that marriage? You know, you should be saying yes very loudly. You should be going, yeah, I'd be missing a lot of things. In fact, I need some in-person stuff. It's a part of the relationship. Hold on. I need some in-person things from God. God is not a God at a distance. He's a God up close. Now, y'all got that? Motion, message, and messenger. You got it? Motion. What's the second one? And what's the third one? What's the first one? What's the second one? What's the third one? Now you can understand this story. Well, let me tell you what happened. There was a eunuch. You all know what a eunuch is? Does anybody know what a eunuch is? A eunuch is a man missing parts that is gone. If I made myself clear, I ain't going in detail on this, all right? Ask your mama when you get home, all right? Go look it up in the dictionary. Go Skype. No, don't go Skype it, okay? A eunuch was a person who was absolutely a protector of royalty that was given a position in the royal court, and their sole focus was to take care of the queen or the king. Well, this eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch, even though he had an important position, it wasn't enough to satisfy his life. Let's look at what the scripture said. The eunuch had come to worship. And on his way, verse 28, go to Acts 8:28. And on his way, he found himself seeking who? Jesus. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. I want you to know, people have heard parts of our message, but they still need a messenger. Now, be careful. Young people, listen, it's come to the point that it's disturbed me enough, I want to call your attention to it. A theological system is not what God brought us. That's what man created in response to Jesus. Don't lose Jesus in the midst of trying to codify him. You know, here's the problem with Jesus. He's not a system. He's a what? Person. Sometimes we miss Jesus because we want Jesus to, you know, go A, B, C, D. And Jesus is just Jesus. He's not a code. He's a person. Now what's the eunuch reading? He's got the information. He's reading from Isaiah. In fact, isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit has him in the exact place he needs to be? Hold on. Somebody hear what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit has this man in the chariot in the exact place he what? Needs to be. Now, hold on. I'm going to ask you to do something. Don't miss your chariots this week. God will put you in some exact places, some absolute exact places this week, and you'll miss it because you're so busy listening to who? You. How many of y'all miss some blessings because you're always listening to you? Here's how you know if you spend too much time listening to you. You're always taking an inventory on how you feel. Can I blow y'all away? The majority of people do not care how you feel. Even more of them could care less what you think. Am I telling the truth or not? I know when I talk like this, y'all think I'm getting rude and ugly. You'll know when I get rude and ugly. This is observation time. I mean, think about this for a minute. If we base our life on how we feel, we'll never live. Because I don't know about y'all, I feel different every moment. I felt different this morning than I did 3 mornings ago. Because this morning I opened the door and a cold blast hit me in the face. Did y'all have the same experience? I always open my door every morning. Every morning I wake up and I got a patio door and I live out in the woods. And I open my door just to make sure, Joe, we're still here. So I look out and boom, I'm like, oh, it's cold. It was the first testimony that winter's coming. I thought maybe we were going to get to skip it this year. Doesn't look like it. It looks like it's going to what? It's going to come. How many of y'all like cold weather? Good, man. Praise God. Y'all need to come to the altar today. Y'all messed up. Telling you. No, some people do like cold weather. My mother liked cold weather. She grew up in Sabbath. She likes cold weather. I hate cold weather. Like, why? Why? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. You don't have good warm weather if you don't have good what? Cold weather. God's got this figured out. I don't. You know what? I've asked God before. God, how come it can't be 70 degrees all the time? You know what? God does not listen to me. God does not set the weather according to how I what? You know why? Because he'll show up in person. Well, this chariot guy, look at the scripture here deeply. God's got him exactly where he's supposed to be because we have a God that is always the exact motion. God's timing is perfect. It's accurate. It's precise. It's on all the time. And look what he does. He's reading, he's reading, he's reading. And he's wondering. And God's moving on him. And God has sent Philip. God sent Philip for this moment. And guess what he said? Stand by the chariot. Stand by the chariot. Go. Verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Go to what? Who told him? Now, how many of you all spend a lot of time near the chariot you want to be at? Watch this. Now, note some things. Did God say, look at that chariot, and when you feel at peace with it, go over to it. Did God say, now I want you to go to that chariot, but I want you to pray about it for 50 hours before you go? Or did he say, go to that chariot? Was God concerned if Philip was emotionally complete or not? No. Go to that chariot. Now, I'd have gone, Lord, I don't know how to speak Ethiopian. He just said, go stand near the what? Okay, listen, a lot of us miss great moments with God because we won't go stand near that chariot. What do we start looking at? Come on, work with me. We look at chariots. Well, I don't like that model. You know, that's a year 12. I want a year 17 chariot. Or we don't like who's in the chariot. You know, let the Ethiopians save themselves. Philip's not Ethiopian. He's a Jew. And God's telling him to go stand near a what? And what's in the chariot? Gentile! Go stand near that chariot. Now, how many of y'all got some chariots you need to stand near? Mm-hmm. How many of y'all need to stand all the way into grace, and right now that makes you a little nervous? Michael Bush, you do this every Friday night, and you do an excellent job at it. Sometimes God says, doesn't he, Michael, stay in the pocket. And you're going, Lord, there's some big monsters coming at me. And the Lord says, stay in the what? Pocket. Stay in the pocket. Man, that's got to be a scary thing for a quarterback. I never watched quarterback. I was the guy making sure the quarterback didn't have a pocket. I thought I had the better job. He had to stand. I got to hit. Stay in there to the exact what? Moment. And some of us miss life because we don't stay in there to the what? Exact moment. Stand near the chariot. So just, hey, record that today. You need to stand near the what? And it didn't say a chariot, it said that chariot, because that chariot has somebody in it that needs to hear about me. I told you God's a God of what? Motion. And he's always the message, and he needs a messenger. Well, he stands near the chariot, and then finally he asks him a question. Look at how this happened. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. And his response is, "How can I understand? How can I what? Understand?" He said, verse 31, "How can I understand if someone doesn't explain it to me?" So he invited Philip to what? Come up and sit with him. How many of y'all know what to explain when somebody asks you? You know, I hear this a lot. People who follow Jesus, they say, "Well, you know, I'm scared somebody will ask me a question that I don't know." Rocky, ask me a deep question. I'll give you the answer. Good. That's a good question, Rocky. It is a good question, Rocky. You ready? You ready for this one? You ready for this one? How deep was the water when the world was flooded? You know, it was as deep as your sin is with God. If that is as deep and it separated us from God, and you know what? What? It's just like where you sit right now, separated from God in sin, and you need a cross, and you need a resurrection, and you need God to forgive you. Did I answer your question? Better believe I did. The message is who? It's not anything else.
Well, what translation of the Bible do you prefer?
The one you can understand. Yeah. Some of y'all would be real impressed. Here's how easily conned the church is today. I could spout off a few Greek and Hebrew words and y'all think I'd know something. Guess what I know? A few Greek and Hebrew words. You can learn those on the internet. They don't even have to go to seminary to learn those. And they're not even impressive. In fact, God is so advanced, he actually wrote the Bible in English so people who speak English could understand his message. Shazam! We think it's impressive.
Well, in the Greek it says,
guess what it says? Here, I'll tell you what it says in the Greek. He invited him. Guess what it says in the Greek? He invited him. And guess what most of us want to do? We'd rather talk about it than go. We don't want to go to our chariot, that one, that chariot. We got to go. You want to find life, you got to what? Somebody talk to him, you got to what? If you really think about it, there's a few times that Jesus said, sit down here and listen. But most of the time, what does Jesus say? Go and what? Here's God's rhythm. Go. And Jesus is always telling people to do what? Follow me. Follow me. How many times is that in the Bible? Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. And what do we want to do? Sit and contemplate. Lord, I'm being holy. I need a pulse from you, God. Well, you know what? A lot of us aren't in God's flow because we won't get in God's go. That make sense? Go, it'll flow. There's no way to say the wrong thing if you talk about Jesus. Somebody need to hear that today. There's no way to say the wrong thing if you talk about who? Jesus. Just be honest with people. I say, well, what do you think is going to happen at the end of time? I think Jesus is going to come back.
Well, Reverend Harris, you think stuff will blow up?
I don't know, but I think Jesus will come back.
Do you think I'll lose all my money?
Most likely. But Jesus is going to come back. The message is who?
Is there another message?
No. Guess what this eunuch needs to know about? Jesus. Well, he's reading a passage in the First Testament about Jesus. He said he was led astray like a sheep's led to the slaughter. And as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, guess what Jesus did? In his humiliation, guess what Jesus did? He laid down his life so that we might live. Isn't that cool? So guess what this eunuch needed? He needed to hear the message from a messenger. There's a lot of folks that you and I love deeply, Chris, that need to hear this week and next week and the next week after that, the message from a what? Messenger. Guess who the messengers are? Well, go ahead and tell the person sitting beside you, you are a messenger. Yeah, Pat, you a messenger. We're all messengers. Now, we're either going to convey the accurate message of Christ, oh, we're going to relay an inaccurate message of Christ. Because, well, when I'm relaying, man, when I'm laying down the grace of God, When I'm at peace, I'm a testimony to God's peace. And even when I mess up, I'm a testimony to God's what? Grace. But no matter what you do, you will be a what? It's going to be a testimony. Well, guess what? Jesus was deprived of his justice. Who can speak of his descendants? Nobody. And then guess what the eunuch said? The eunuch asked Philip. He asked Philip. He goes, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Philip goes on and tells him about who? Jesus. Isn't that neat? Tells him about who? Look, this is a guy, he is secular. Ooh. Joe, he's secular. He didn't grow up at the First Baptist Jerusalem. He hadn't been churched up. He's outside of church. He's an Ethiopian eunuch. Apparently God loves all people. What do you think? We got a Jewish guy talking to a black man. What do you think about that? And who's the message? Jesus. See, don't ever bring that stuff in this church. God only wants to save one group of people. Ooh. Now, there's some limited people. Some of y'all are going to be shocked when you get to heaven and find out it ain't white. It ain't white. I've read the book. They dance up there. You know you couldn't have a heaven full of white people and dancing going on. Everybody, hold on, everybody has an opportunity to receive Christ. How many of y'all believe that? Everybody has an opportunity to receive who? You may give me the scripture, Romans 9. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be. Y'all believe it or not? Now, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, here's what you got to deal with. I, as one of your pastors, I'm just one of your pastors, but all of your pastors believe what I just spoke. Because if they don't believe that, they're not a pastor at Hillview Heights Church. That's a core issue. That's what we believe here, that anybody can come to know Jesus Christ. We believe anybody can be saved. Our hope is that everybody would be saved. The reality is some won't be saved. You know why? They won't listen. But what's important in your life, do you know Jesus and will you share him with somebody else? Now you say, is this important? You better believe it is. It was so important that God called Philip, one of his messengers, to go in person and tell somebody about who? Jesus. Pretty cool, isn't it? By the way, if you'd like to know what was done in the early church, we're in the early church. In the book of Acts, the message of the gospel is getting out to everybody. God's heart desire. God's what? Heart desire. He desires it so much that he would send Philip. And guess what he says? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and tells him about Jesus. Now, once he received Jesus, guess what this guy absolutely wanted to become? I'm going to blow y'all away. Because watch this, I know some of y'all, when I get to this baptism thing, you go, well, now, Pastor Steve, I believe there's a God. And I congratulate you. That's a good first step. You still have not changed your life. Come on, I'll be really honest with you. Believing there is a God does not change your life. Scripture says even the demons in hell believe that there's a superior force, there is a God. In fact, most of the demons know Jesus better than those of us that studied. We know the demons know who he is, that he was crucified, and that he was resurrected. Did you know that, Joe? I mean, they were there on scene. But they will not receive what God has said. Isn't that interesting? Well, it was just natural for the eunuch. Then Philip tells him the good news about who? Who? Who's he talking about? How many of y'all need to tell folk the good news about Jesus? Not about the Baptist church, not about the Methodist church, not about the Catholic church, not about the church, but about Jesus. See, here's what we've missed. God is a in-person God, not a organizational God only, but a in-person what? God. You say, well, does God get in your face? No, he gets in your heart.
He gets in your heart so bad that when you pull up in your chariot, they looked over there and guess what they said? They saw some water. Now, I'm just telling you what happens here in Scripture. Look at it on the big screen. They're going to put it on the big screen. Put the big Scripture on the big screen. As they traveled along the road, y'all reading that? They came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's the water. Why shouldn't I be what? So I want you to know that I, as your pastor, have a hard time with all these people who are so deeply spiritual and see absolutely no baptisms. You know why that's happening. They're not deeply spiritual. They're just informed. How many of y'all realize you can be informed and lost? The eunuch was informed, but he was yet to have the in-person experience. Some of you young newlyweds, y'all are in the discovery of this. Some of you who've been married a little longer have an understanding of this. How many of you, marriage was different in action than it was in dream? Anybody? I don't know why y'all making a face like that. Mine was better than I thought it was going to be. Because I knew who my wife was marrying. But really. I discovered that marriage is easier on paper than it is in actuality. Hello? I found that it is easier to talk about going to class than it is to actually go to class and do the work. I found that the in-person is where the change really incurs. Does that make sense? You see where I'm going at here? God's an in-person God that brings a great message. And I just want you to know that the response is actual. You know what I mean by that? It's not theoretical. It's actual. It's actual. It's realized. And it's interesting to me that the eunuch realizes the grace of God, and his first response is, there's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Pretty cool, isn't it? So, guess what? He was. Isn't that interesting? No church to join. You know, Justin, I mean, here's the first question. Why should I be baptized? Well, he didn't have a committee to check on. He didn't have a bishop to call and see if that was permitted. It was just, why shouldn't I be baptized? And he should have been baptized because he had met Jesus and he wanted to be a testimony as soon as he got the message. So he's dead to sin. He's risen to new possibilities. And right after that, guess what? Philip baptizes him and boom, he's transported from there and he no longer sees him. And so I want to leave you with this. This is the way we ought to live. It's pretty crazy. I wish God would do that to me once. I'd like to be baptizing somebody and then just be like transported to Living Hope stage instantly. In my baptismal robe soaking wet. Like a beam me up, Scotty. I bet people would freak out about that. What do you think? I mean, Philip was gone. So he's just gone. But I want to challenge us. It's the way we ought to live our lives. Here's my hope for us as a church. How many of y'all realize that one day we'll be gone? I'm going to be gone. Ain't going to be no Steve Ayers pastor in this church. I'll be gone. And I hope people see me no more. I hope they haven't seen me. But guess who I hope I leave behind? Jesus. Philip knew how to run it, man. Get near to the chariot. Answer the question. Tell the message of Jesus. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then guess what? Be gone and leave Jesus behind. In fact, guess what? Man, I want to tell you, once you get in this life, it's great. You know what? I feel like I'm living in the bonus from here on out. My kids are where they need to be. Get rolling. I hope you stay focused, kids. But guess what I told my kids? I've given you the greatest thing, shown you the greatest thing of all things. That's Jesus. That's why I ain't going to leave you a dime. I don't leave you a dime. I said, you got an education and you got a God with all possibilities. And what you need to pray for is when your mother and I are gone, that's all will be left. Jesus, his possibilities, and what you know. And pray that we do not leave you with a lot of debt, because that's possible. But if you're expecting a great heritage, you've already received it. Jesus. You know what's so sad? It'd be a lot of parents that are gone. They're going to leave their kids a lot of money and no life. They'll have a big house. They'll have great things for a moment. And they'll die and never see life again. Now that stinks. You know what? You can disagree and say,
well, Pastor Ayers, I don't believe that a loving and merciful God would ever allow hell to exist.
You just keep on believing that, and you and Chopak, Tupac, Wupak, whatever his name is, y'all can have therapy group in hell when y'all all get there. He doesn't believe there's a hell either. When he's sitting in the midst of it, guess what he'll believe? There's a hell. How can you believe there's no hell? Come on, y'all are smart. How many of y'all have done something that God told you not to do? Come on, just in actual life. What happened when you did something God told you not to do? What'd you find? Hell, thank you. Thank you for saying the real world. I know we're in South Central Kentucky and everybody's supposed to be polite and people go to Hades. No, they don't go to Hades. They go to hell. Hades is in Western Kentucky. Hell is a place without God. Make sense? Oh, that's Cadiz. That's not Hades, is it? Okay, I knew that. I'm just messing with y'all. You ready? Huh? God doesn't want you to be there. He wants to save you. He wants to come to your chariot. He wants to speak a new life into you. He wants to give you a new road. Does everybody understand that? Three things I hope you got today. There's a God in motion. Join him. The message is Jesus. It will not change. And I think it's pretty cool. I'm glad Jesus is not like the stock market. Aren't you? Wouldn't that be an awful report on Monday morning? We are 400 points below in grace this week. Oh, gosh. Aren't y'all glad Jesus didn't go up and down? Jesus went down, up, 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 up. And he uses words like this. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The great anthems of the church sing about forever. You and I go right now. It's as long as we can go. And God goes what? Forever. Well, let me give you some opportunities. They're here. They're available. They're right now. Where's your chariot? Let the Holy Spirit pull right up beside it right now. Do you know Jesus? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner? How many of you realize everybody in the room sinned? So before you start taking an inventory and go, well, I tell you what, I ain't done that. Well, good. At least you saved one. It's not about what you've done. Is everybody hearing me? Grace is not about what you and I have done. It's about what Jesus is doing. First, this is what he did. He died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. And I'm just telling you what he said. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? And he didn't say this. Everyone who's not drunk vodka is saved. He didn't say everyone who's never smoked a cigarette is saved. He didn't say anybody who's never said a cuss word is saved. Because I sure wouldn't be preaching to you this morning. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I have familiar words fly out of my mouth. Y'all ever have that happen? People pull out in front of me. I don't say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Y'all have the same problems, or am I the only one that struggle with these things? Y'all get in the crowd and people start messing with you, and sometimes you just want to fly the international praise and worship sign. These are not good things we do as humans. And the reason we have these tendencies is because you and I are trapped in sin, man. I grew up in church, and guess what I am? A sinner in need of Jesus. If you grew up out of church, guess what you are? A sinner in the need of Jesus. And once you come to that truth, guess what? The eunuch had money. He had status. He had power. But he needed grace. And he said, this Jesus you preach, I believe in. And that eunuch said, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins. Guess what? God saved him. Today, in just a moment, some of y'all are going to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, save me from my what? Guess what God's going to do? Personally show up. Pastor Steve, that's crazy. Because God's not going to get in your head, he's going to get in your life. You say, well, what happens if I'm baptized and I sin again? You keep on walking. You know what I love about Jesus? Here's the one thing I found about Jesus. And I'm going to be quiet right after this, I promise. Y'all going, I'm not, but I am, I promise. It's a word in Scripture that blows me away. Lo, I'm with you always. It's a word in the New Testament. Jesus says it several times. And I'll be with you. It makes sense. I'll be with you. I got to thinking about this the other day. I don't know, I may be getting older. Jesus is the only thing that won't leave you. See, my wife can leave me. My children can leave me. I mean, I love them, but they can leave. My truck can leave. My house can leave. My possessions can what? My dog. Good dog. Like my dog, but it could what? Now some of y'all saying, I wish my children would leave. I know. Maybe when they're 50, they'll go. But guess what won't leave? Jesus. That's it. My health can leave. My status can leave. Only one thing stays. Jesus. Make sense? Well, today, get in motion with God. Get to the message. Be a messenger. I promise you. There's a chariot parked outside your life if you're following Jesus and somebody's in it. And you know what God's wanting you to do? Get near. And then when he tells you to say something, say something. It's that real. Amen. If y'all don't mind, if you just thank your neighbor for listening real good, because they did today. If you just go ahead and say, man, you listen good today. Just tell them, come on, whisper it to him. You listen good today. Well, let's stand together. We're going to open this altar. We have pastors here at the altar. By the way, I've been on this, but I'm more on this now. I'm more on this now than I was last week. Keith, it's time for people to get baptized and squared away. Robert, you said that the Lord, as you went, Robert, did you go through worship conference? Okay, and yesterday you heard the Lord speak this to you. It's right in line, so I want to use it right now. Robert heard the Lord speak to him. We got to quit being in between. You know, and here's what I found. If you really, and I'm going to preach a sermon on this. But this in-between stuff, what's going to happen on the day of judgment? Watch this. Here's what I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to almost go to heaven. You're in a hell of a mess if that happens, okay? Heaven's not 99% there. It's all the way there. God didn't give some of himself. He gave what? All. And how much sin did you get forgiven? Some or all? Now you got it. If you need a relationship with Jesus, man, he's inviting you right now. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Yeah, I do. You've sinned. Watch this here. I'm going to fire back at you in love. You don't know how he can forgive. You don't know how he can forgive. What are you telling me? Your sin's bigger than God's grace? You out of your mind. You out of your mind. Can't be bigger than God. We can't create something that God can't overcome, and he will overcome sin in our lives, and he'll give us a new life. Why don't you come receive that today? Go ahead and pray with me. You can keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. That's a good way to pray. You ain't got to close your eyes to pray. Think about it inside. Ask Jesus. Feel that Holy Spirit draw you right now. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. True or false? And if you don't have that relationship, just ask Jesus. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Now, if that's real, what are you going to do? You're going to be just like a eunuch. You're going to say, Lord, I'm ready to be a testimony. So come and be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, it's time to get baptized. You need to get certified. Confirmed. Sealed. I'm using some of our words to understand God's happening. Be the testimony, the confession. Old him. Stand up for what? Yeah. So let's stand up, amen. Lord Jesus, Bring your children to the altar today. Spirit, speak loud and clear. And those of us that need you, which is all of us, may we receive you. If you need to be baptized, come today and let's get that taken care of, scheduled, ready to go.
Is your Pastor Steve got baptized when I was a baby?
I honor that. Your parents did a good job. Now it's your turn to confirm what they did. Make an adult decision. Watch this. I love your mom and dad. I love moms. I love dads. This is where it's tough being a dad or a mom. We can't save our children. Only Jesus. We can fund them. We can house them. We can feed them. We can cook for them. We can give them stuff. Give them too much stuff. Not enough stuff. But we can't save them. Only who? Jesus. Lord, this altar's open, and as your Spirit breezes through this place, may we come forward in response. May we see your salvation and your glory in the name of Jesus right now. This altar's open. Please don't stand there very long today. Just come on. There's some people that need to be saved, need to be baptized. If you need to talk about that, let's talk about that. If you're wondering if Jesus is real or not, come on today and find out. Come on, if you're a follower of Jesus, you got a friend that needs to be prayed for, come and pray for him. By the way, this altar is open to everybody. Here at Hillview, we believe anybody and everybody can be saved. Everybody can come. So we don't have members. We have people seeking Jesus. And so come, man, and just let that happen. Pastors are here to minister to you. So come right now. And as you come, may God touch you. May God touch you. Come on right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Some coming to be baptized, let that happen right now.